Our next guest, being a part of as a player and as a coach, now the head coach of the Roughnecks, Kurt Maloski, joins us once again. Kurt, how you doing?
Good, guys. You?
I'm excellent. What's your thoughts? Last year, you guys got to start the two-game series at home. This year, you're starting on the road. Do you think there's an advantage either way?
I don't think so. You know, considering how tight the two teams play each other, and there's not much in it that way, so that doesn't really matter. It's what you do on the floor, and any given night, anyone's going to beat anybody. So I don't think the venue's overly a major factor in it. You know, we're going to go back home, and last year they came back home, so it's really irrelevant to us, really.
The one big change from last year for your team is in goal. Frankie Chiliano's taken over the reins for your team kind of midway through the season, Kurt, and he's really emerged. Only gave up 6 goals in Colorado. Looked very good. Just a young goalie who's developing. Talk about his emergence and how important he's become for your team.
Yeah, you know, it doesn't have to really be said, but, you know, one of the most important positions in sport is a goaltender, and, you know, early in the year, Pooley struggled a little bit, and we gave Frank an opportunity, and wasn't quite ready. And then we went back to him later in the season, and the guy's got a lot of confidence in him, and he's been playing really, really well. And he's got a lot of confidence in himself, and that's the one thing that we really like about him. He's mentally strong. He's very headstrong, and if a goal goes in, he moves by it. And I know it's easy for us as coaches to say, just can't quite get it together mentally and can't make that big save. So I think the real big telltale for us was, we grabbed a couple overtime wins, and it was a real big one when he made that save on Reese Dutch last game in Vancouver 2 weeks back. So we knew what we had there, and we were really excited for him to make that. And then he carried that confidence and the momentum down to Colorado, and he played a whale of a game down there. So, we're confident with our young guy, and, the more he plays in that, the more experience he gets, the better he's going to be. So we're excited to have him.
Kurt, the cliche is it's not how you start but how you finish, and your club didn't have the start it wanted, but you got to look pretty far to find a team that was better in the last dozen or so games. Is that your train of thought as well, that you're playing well when you need to be playing well now and everything's the way you need it to be?
Yeah, it probably would have been a little easier on the ticker if we didn't come out of the gates at 0-6, but we didn't draw it up that way, but I thought we played well down the way. And, there was a little bit of luck to it, too. We're fortunate that Vancouver kind of struggled along the way down the stretch, and it never weighed away from us that we controlled our own destiny. And I think that was important, and we were able to continue to focus. We didn't need any help from anybody else. It was like, do our job, and we'll get there. And, we got a veteran-laden team, and as much as you look at it, and I'm not saying this was the case, but, subliminally it could have been that, you're playing 18 games, and you're scrapping, and you're battling, and we all know the important season is the second season. So, maybe the guys were like, they're looking beyond a little bit, and then you start losing a one-goal game, and things snowball from there. But, when we needed to start getting wins and start to put things together and get some guys back from injury, and we got some strong goaltending, started coming around. So I wouldn't say that was a perfect science, but it worked out, and that's a testament to our guys.
Head coach of the Roughnecks, Kurt Maloski, joins us, taking on the Rush tomorrow night, 7:30 at Rexall Place. Sean Evans, Kurt, rewrote the record book this season, 130 points. He was dynamic, and the thing that amazes me about him is just his conditioning. He doesn't seem to fatigue despite, and he's a smaller guy. He always has the ball in his pocket. I know against Colorado, he only had 5 points, which is really low for him, but it was a better spread-out offense. You've seen him, put up big seasons before, but he kind of took it to a new level this year. What specifically did you see different in his game this year that put him to the level that we'd never seen before?
He's had a few seasons under his belt in Calgary now, and his familiarity with the guys and the comfort level in the city. And, he's kind of our franchise guy, so to speak. When we picked him up and we made a big trade to move past Johnny Palliser, that we put all our eggs in Evie's basket. And, a lot of our offense runs through him, and he's a warrior, he's a competitor. He's a guy that wants that ball late, and his winning attitude and his warrior mentality is very contagious. So I think he's always had the respect of the guys, but he's just earned it year after year. The more he plays with them, the more fight he shows, the better he is in the bigger games. And I think that was the big thing, is that everyone started just looking at Evie and going, he's our guy. And, he's been up in the borough in the shadow of Tracy and Junior and some of the big guys that they got up there, and then down in Rochester with Jammer and some of the boys they had there. So, but when he was in Calgary, he's our guy. Evie's our guy, and our guys follow him. And he's not lettered on the jersey, but he's a huge part of our leadership group. on and off the floor and in the room. And I think that's the big thing, is that guys, he's like, guys, get on my back. We're going here. And you can't help but follow a warrior. He does it all for you, whether it be, you know, drop the mitts, whether it be scoring goals, getting big assists, you know, get hard on and off the floor. When Ebby busted to the bench, you know, everybody else can't help but doing it. So he's been a big part, and I think just his evolving to being a leader on our team is got the guys following.
Kurt, you split the series with the Rush this season. These are two really good clubs, it goes without saying. When we talk about a playoff series, do you just concentrate on what you do, or do you make certain tweaks to how you approach it, given there's a good amount of offensive firepower and depth of that in that Rush lineup as well?
They're a very, very well-rounded team, right from top to bottom, right from the goaltender out to the offense and special teams. And, you know, I've said before, got a lot of admiration, a lot of respect for the coaching staff. They're very, very well prepared. And, you know, we have to be at the top of our game to just to compete with them. And they don't make a lot of mistakes. They play, you know, pretty much mistake-free ball. And it's always a battle. And you know, we prepare ourselves predicated on our opponent. We prepare ourselves predicated on ourselves, what we feel our strengths and weaknesses are. But, you know, if you watch hours of film and game after game, you don't see a lot of weaknesses in that club. So, you know, we're going to have to play a full, complete 60 minutes plus, and it's got to be a near-perfect game to be able to compete with them. So it's going to be an uphill battle, but, you know, our guys are up for the challenge.
Kurt, a lot of coaches, you know, will try to limit the high offensive guys. Obviously, Edmonton's going to try to slow down Dixon and Evans for you guys, and, of course, you'll try to slow down, you know, Matthews and Church for the Edmonton Rush. Kyle Rubish has been the defensive player of the year 3 years in a row, and everybody says he's maybe the best. Do you game plan to have the ball on the other side of the floor more when he's on, so he's not as heavily involved defensively?
You know, we got certain schemes and ideology that we implement when we play Edmonton. And, you know, if you concentrate on one guy, you know, you concentrate on four, then you got Mitski that's going to take it from you. Then you got Corbeil that's going to take it from you. You got Ryan Dilks, and the list goes on and on and on. So, you know, obviously we game plan on personnel, tendencies and stuff like that. And we try to implement our systems based on some of that stuff. So, you know, it's not all in one guy, because there's such a dynamic defense as well as their dynamic offense. So it's just basically systematic offense and systematic defense. We need to play as a group, and you know, we just kind of let the chips fall where they may.
Looking at some of the details, how important is a guy like Jeff Snyder to you in this series? He was absolutely brilliant on faceoffs. I think he only played three of the four games in the series, but they say possession is 9/10 of the law, and he's awful good at it.
We feel exactly that. You know, we feel that he's been a big part of getting us the ball, and you know, his game's really evolved, because Jeff gets the ball and everyone expects him to turn it over. So, you know, he's been a lot better with that, and we're putting in some schemes in to be able to get us the ball and not only get the draw, but he want to make sure we get the possession of it. And, you know, if you talk about controlling momentum in a game, and, you know, if you can get a possession after a big goal, if you can get the ball and take the wind out of their sails when they score, I don't think you can quantify that. And he's another guy that's a warrior and a competitor, and yeah, he wants to win. I know that probably the toughest thing for his lacrosse career was him having to watch that championship final last year. And so, you know, he's got a lot of spunk and a lot of fire this year, and he's got something to prove. So I think the face-off circle is going to be massive, not only who wins a draw, who's able to gain and keep possession.
Kurt, you are on the good and bad side of the 10-minute overtime. Do you are you a guy that would lobby to get it out? Would you rather have a 10-minute overtime or just two games total point? What would you prefer?
Well, you can't have two games total points, because you say you get wallpapered to game one, you lose 16-8. You might as well just, you know, as I'm a coach, I probably sit on the ball. You probably see the dead puck error, the dead ball error, so to speak, in lacrosse if you were down that many. So,
okay,
you know, I'm okay with a mini game. It's fair. You got one in their rink and one in our rink, and you play the last 10 minutes. And I really think that, you know, perfect world, it would be two or three full games like the championship is. But in the Western Final, to get rid of that one-off, it's close to the best team that's going to win in that situation. You know, if you have two bad nights, or if you have, you know, 7 minutes of bad lacrosse, then I don't think you deserve to move on. So, you know, we were on the good side of it last year, and in the Western Final, we're on the bad side of it in the championship. And, you know, I didn't come away with sour grapes either way. Like, Rochester was a better team last year. They beat us fair and square, and we move on. And, And this year it's going to be the team that could put, you know, 70 plus minutes in, or maybe even 120 minutes, and get it done in two games and not have to worry about the mini games. So you'll find a true champion in the Western Final this year. That's my belief anyway.
Kurt, looking at your team, I think you guys are being pretty much the same. You know, you've got your elite top end guys. You got a well-rounded pressure defense. You got the best face-off guy, and that's pretty much similar. The one difference maybe from the Rush last year to this year is their offense is more focused on just offensive guys. They were more of a team by committee. You know, I think they had 9 guys with 17 goals. This year they only had 4 guys with more than 12. Does that change the overall approach? Do you notice that they're a team maybe that you don't have to worry about as much in transition this year compared to last?
No, I don't think so. I'm sure that, you know, I know Derek Keenan's Whippy system, and I know they're pushing transition. They're going to come out running out of the gate. So if we think we're going to play a half-court game against Edmonton Rush, they'll end up putting 4 or 5 on you. And they might not have put the numbers up that they wanted. I don't think they're scheming against it. I just think that, the opportunity arises to get their offense the ball. I think they were one of the top, if not the top, goals for in the league. So, you know, sometimes it's probably not, let's not force it, let's get it to the offense because they're clicking. So I think if the opportunity arises tomorrow night, you're going to see them go to the net. But I just think it's a very well-coached team, and they're playing to their strengths. And at this point, their offense is one of their top strengths, and they're going to get them the ball. But it's not lost in our game preparation that if the transition opportunity is there, they're going to take it.
Kurt, one thing I see when I look at some of the notes about this series, maybe it's important, maybe not, to get your take on it. Experience. Your club, in terms of the guys on the roster, more than double the number of playoff games than the Rush players. Does that matter, or does it sometimes matter? What's your take on that part of it?
Well, imagine if you ask the Rush, they'd probably say it doesn't mean anything. Mm-hmm. And if you ask us, you know, I think you can only get experience by battling and going through the trials and tribulations of a playoff run, and going through the trials and tribulations of a season. But, you know, they're a young team, so they just can't show up and get experience. But they've been in the championship game. Derek's been in championship games as a coach. Mm-hmm. They've won a lot of national championships in the junior level. Those guys went to the Western Final last year. They know how to win. They know how to compete in the playoffs. So when you're looking at 290 games to 108 on the other side of it, it doesn't mean anything. Those guys got 108 games is enough experience. And, you know, you blow the whistle, you put the ball in, those two hungry teams are going to battle. And I'm not putting a lot of weight in the experience side of it. It's going to be the team that makes the least amount of mistakes. And at the end of the day, the team that wants it more is going to, you know, move on to the championship series.
Kurt, I was talking to a few of their players, and they're joking. They're like, "Man, he might still be the most intense guy on our bench sometimes." Do you have to reel yourself in sometimes behind the bench?
I still think I can get 25 on the power play this week if I put the gear on. it's just the way I'm wired. You know what I mean? It's all. I've always been all in, and as a player, and it's hard. I'll be honest with you. It's hard to sit there and be on the bench, and you can only contribute so much. Uh-huh. And you just want to be able to battle with the guys and compete with the guys. And it is a difficult thing. And it's the closest thing that kind of, you know, sows the oats, so to speak, as from a player's perspective, now that you're a coach. But it's that's just fire and competitiveness inside of me. And, you know, I just wish I could put the gear on and make more of an impact. And, you know, you just got to trust the guys that are around you. And they know that they're going to go to war. And, you know, I think they feed off of that demeanor sometimes. And sometimes it works with us, and sometimes it works against us, from an emotional standpoint. And I think sometimes you get penalized because of it. So, you know, there's some things I have to learn as I go along as a coach. But, you know, that's all real there.
You know, I know you're always an emotional guy when you play, and you can't change who you are as a person. As a coach now, with your fiery nature, how do you deal with guys who are maybe the quiet, fiery guys? Like, that's got to be a little different. Like, Evans is a very outwardly emotional guy like yourself, right? And so, or do you like to get players who match your personality?
No, I think in this league, you have to be able to be that chameleon as a coach. You have to be able to adapt to the personnel that you have, because you can't just go out and get 20 Shawnee Evans. You're going to have your Shawnee Evans. You're going to have your Dab McRae's. You're going to have the Mike Carnegies and Scott Carnegies that are different personalities. So I think the successful coaches are going to be able to know who needs the whip and who needs the sugar, and what they need is from an intrinsic motivational standpoint to make sure that they're at their best. And you know, that's something that we spent a lot of time with. And, you know, I got great mentor in Bobby McMahon and a young guy, Bruce Ucod, that does a great job there with, we just understand our personnel and being around them that much longer, it just helps that conduciveness. But, you know, as a coach, you have to be able to adapt to your personnel. I'm not on the Mike Keenan side of things. I like to think that, you know, I try to get the best out of the guys because I know who they are as people away from the game. And, you know, if you put your heart into it and you genuinely care about them, and I cared about my teammates as a player, and they know that I care about them as people away from the game, and not only that, and as athletes on the floor, that I do anything for them, and they do the same thing. So when you really get that heart-to-heart, you know, connection with your guys, and you know how they tech, they're going to go for you, and you know, it's a testament to the character we have in the room.
Kurt, I really appreciate your time. Best of luck in the series. Should be a great Battle of Alberta, the Rush and the Roughnecks. Appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, Jit. Appreciate being on.